Chapter 12. The summer drew on, and Rhoda Brooke almost dreaded to meet Mrs. Lodge again, notwithstanding that her feeling for the young wife amounted well nigh to affection. Something in her own individuality seemed to convict Rhoda of crime. Yet a fatality sometimes would direct the steps of the latter to the outskirts of Holmstock, whenever she left her house for any other purpose than her daily work. And hence it happened that their next encounter was out of doors. Rhoda could not avoid the subject which had so mystified her, and after the first few words she stammered, "I hope your arm is well again, ma'am." As he had perceived with consternation that Gertrude Lodge carried her left arm stiffly. "No, it is not quite well. Indeed, it is no better at all. It is rather worse. It pains me dreadfully sometimes." "Perhaps you had better go to a doctor, ma'am." She replied that as he had already seen a doctor. Her husband had insisted upon her going to one. But the surgeon had not seemed to understand the afflicted limb at all. He had told her to bathe it in hot water, and as he had bathed it, but the treatment had done no good. "Will you let me see it?" said the milkwoman. Mrs. Lodge pushed up her sleeve and disclosed the place, which was a few inches above the wrist. As soon as Rhoda Brooke saw it, she could hardly preserve her composure. There was nothing of the nature of a wound, but the arm at that point had a shriveled look, and the outline of the four fingers appeared more distinct than at the former time. Moreover, she fancied that they were imprinted in precisely the relative position of her clutch upon the arm in the trance, the first finger towards Gertrude's wrist, and the fourth towards her elbow. What the impress resembled seemed to have struck Gertrude herself since their last meeting. "It looks almost like finger marks," she said, adding with a faint laugh, "My husband says it is as if some witch, or the devil himself, had taken hold of me there, and blasted the flesh." Rhoda shivered. "That's fancy," she said hurriedly. "I wouldn't mind it, if I were you." "I shouldn't so much mind it," said the younger, with hesitation, if I hadn't a notion that it makes my husband dislike me no, love me less. Men think so much of personal appearance. Some do he for one. Yes, and he was very proud of mine, at first. Keep your arm covered from his sight. He knows the disfigurement is there. She tried to hide the tears that filled her eyes. "Well, ma'am, I earnestly hope it will go away soon." And so the milkwoman's mind was chained anew to the subject by a horrid sort of spell as she returned home. The sense of having been guilty of an act of malignity increased, affect as she might to ridicule her superstition. In her secret heart, Rhoda did not altogether object to a slight diminution of her successor's beauty, by whatever means it had come about, but she did not wish to inflict upon her physical pain. For though this pretty young woman had rendered impossible any reparation which Lodge might have made Rhoda for his past conduct, everything like resentment at the unconscious usurpation had quite passed away from the elder's mind. If the sweet and kindly Gertrude Lodge only knew of the scene in the bedchamber, what would she think? Not to inform her of it seemed treachery in the presence of her friendliness, but tell she could not of her own accord, neither could she devise a remedy. She mused upon the matter the greater part of the night, and the next day, after the morning milking, set out to obtain another glimpse of Gertrude Lodge if she could, being held to her by a gruesome fascination. By watching the house from a distance, the milkmaid was presently able to discern the farmer's wife in a ride she was taking alone, probably to join her husband in some distant field. Mrs. Lodge perceived her, and cantered in her direction. "Good morning, Rhoda," Gertrude said, when as he had come up. "I was going to call." Rhoda noticed that Mrs. Lodge held the reins with some difficulty. I hope the bad arm, apostrophe said Rhoda. They tell me there is possibly one way by which I might be able to find out the cause, and so perhaps the cure, of it, apostrophe replied the other anxiously. It is by going to some clever man over in Egdon Heath. They did not know if he was still alive, and I cannot remember his name at this moment, but they said that you knew more of his movements than anybody else here about, and could tell me if he were still to be consulted. Dear me, what was his name? But you know, apostrophe apostrophe, not Conjurer Trendle? Apostrophe apostrophe said her thin companion, turning pale. Trendle, yes. Is he alive? Apostrophe, I believe so, apostrophe said Rhoda, with reluctance. Why do you call him Conjurer? Apostrophe apostrophe, well, they say they used to say he was a he had powers other folks have not. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, how could my people be so superstitious as to recommend a man of that sort? I thought they meant some medical man. I shall think no more of him. Apostrophe apostrophe, Rhoda looked relieved, and Mrs. Lodge rode on. The milkwoman had inwardly seen, from the moment she heard of her having been mentioned as a reference for this man, that there must exist a sarcastic feeling among the work folk that a sorceress would know the whereabouts of the exorcist. They suspected her, then. A short time ago this would have given no concern to a woman of her common sense. But as he had a haunting reason to be superstitious now, and as he had been seized with sudden dread that this Conjurer Trendle might name her as the malignant influence which was blasting the fair person of Gertrude, and so led her friend to hate her forever, and to treat her as some fiend in human shape. But all was not over. 2 days after, a shadow intruded into the window pattern thrown on Rhoda Brooks' floor by the afternoon sun. The woman opened the door at once, almost breathlessly. Are you alone? Apostrophe apostrophe said Gertrude. She seemed to be no less harassed and anxious than Brooke herself. Yes, apostrophe said Rhoda. The place on my arm seems worse and troubles me. Apostrophe apostrophe the young farmer's wife went on. It is so mysterious. I do hope it will not be an incurable wound. I have again been thinking of what they said about Conjurer Trendle. I don't really believe in such men, but I should not mind just visiting him, from curiosity though on no account, must my husband know. Is it far to where he lives? Apostrophe, yes, 5 miles, apostrophe said Rhoda backwardly. In the heart of Egdon. Apostrophe, well, I should have to walk. Could not you go with me to show me the way, say tomorrow afternoon? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, not I that is, apostrophe the milkwoman murmured, with a start of dismay. Again the dread seized her, that something to do with her fierce act in the dream might be revealed, and her character in the eyes of the most useful friend as he had ever had be ruined irretrievably. Mrs. Lodge urged, and Rhoda finally assented, though with much misgiving. Sad as the journey would be to her, she could not conscientiously stand in the way of a possible remedy for her patron's strange affliction. It was agreed that, to escape suspicion of their mystic intent, they should meet at the edge of the heath at the corner of a plantation which was visible from the spot where they now stood. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.